Welcome to the Beth Williams Indie Americana Songwriter Podcast, where the Colorado mountains meet the West Texas wind and beyond, sharing music, thoughts, life stories, and the heart of singer-songwriters. And now your host, Beth Williams.
Hello, my beautiful friends, and thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Beth Williams Indie Americana Songwriter Podcast. I'm coming to you from the western slope of Colorado, USA, and I'm super excited to introduce you to an old friend of mine who is our featured artist on this week's show. His name is Bob Charles, Texas singer-songwriter, incredible guitar player, and one of the nicest, most humble guys you'll ever meet. So I'm going to kick things off with one of his songs, Pauper's Claim to Fame, from his Blue Sky Black CD. And right after that, Bob and I will talk about his life, music, and other things. Here's Pauper's Claim to Fame, Bob Charles.
Thank you.
That was Bob Charles, Popper's claim to fame, from his CD, Blue Sky Black. And it just so happens that I have Bob Charles in the studio with me, kind of. I have Bob Charles on FaceTime video chat. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thank you, Beth.
And let's just be clear, I call Bob Bobby because I've known him since he was 18, which is a few years back. So, first of all, can you tell me about this song, Popper's Claim to Fame?
It was a fun song to do. It was actually written by my friend Joe L'Esperance, who's a songwriter in Boston. He's such a great writer that I wanted to include some of his songs on the record. The only way that we could do that was we had to fly him down here and sit him down and put him in front of a microphone and just record tunes that way, because there was nothing documented. We had a great time. We sat Joe down. It was part of the creation of the album. You know, after he left and after we were done partying and hanging out and everything, I was left with these songs, and Popper's just stuck out to me. And it was almost a country feel to it. It was kind of bouncy, you know. I turned it upside down and changed it into something. I still wanted to include the acoustic properties that were originally there. And I think we did that, you know, because there's an acoustic track throughout it, as well as the electric trio.
Yeah, it's a great tune. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning, all right? When did you first know you wanted to play music, and what was your first inspiration?
Probably records around the house that my parents had, radio, hearing things that my parents always had records by, Frank Sinatra, Herb Albert, the Tijuana Brass, the old stuff like that, and that I latched onto it. I was really young, maybe 8 or 9 years old or something like that at the time, but it's kind of an interesting story. I had a next door neighbor that was quite a bit older than me. He turned me on to music, and I remember going into his house and sitting down in front of a little record player, and all of a sudden I heard the Allman Brothers, and I heard Jimi Hendrix, and I heard Eric Clapton. That was it. That's changed my world, hearing that music. And it's always remained like in my heart in a big way since then.
So how old were you when you actually started playing your first guitar?
Probably about 8. You know, I had the cheapest of Sears acoustic guitar that you could have, and I used to listen to Jimi Hendrix and go, how is he doing that on a guitar, you know? Yeah, and just, you know, kind of a familiar story, I think. A lot of people progress from that point, you know, they get an electric, and then before you know it, you're just kind of playing with friends in the neighborhood and whatnot, and moved on from there.
When was your very first band that you played in, professionally, your first gig?
My very first gig, well, I played a gig in New York when I lived in New York, and I don't think it was a paying gig. It seemed professional to me because there was a large audience. I don't even remember what it was for. It was in some convention center. It was basically a blues band, you know, because that's the blues world was the foundation for me and still is the platform I like to work from. I played a gig there, and shortly thereafter, we moved to Texas. The first actual gig that I did was the rodeo.
Insane. Oh. was it a country gig?
It was a country, yeah. I wanted to be in a band. I wanted to start playing, and you know, there was a lot of country bands in town, so I was like, all right. I met a guitar player in town who was playing in a country band, and then he left and turned me on to the gig. And so I kind of filled his shoes, and that was the first gig I did.
Well, first of all, I just always assumed that you were from Texas. Let me just say for my listeners, I have known Bob Charles, since he was 18 or maybe 19 when I was in a band called Slow Cotton, and we were at the Town Crier. And what I remember about you is that every break you were like sitting over in a corner doing scales on your guitar. I was just astonished by it. I mean, you didn't take a break, and you were phenomenal. Amazing when you were, I think you were 18 or 19.
That was a fun band. Slow Cotton, you know, I have real fond memories. I think you did a lot of folk rock and blues oriented stuff. I already had that in my heart, you know, so it was a no-brainer to enjoy that and kind of step into that. And we worked, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
We were playing 5-6 nights a week.
So let's play another one of your tunes right now. I'm going to play Trouble My World. What can you tell me about that song, Bobby?
It was a very simple song. I played it on an acoustic dobro type instrument. I don't have that instrument anymore. It actually was stolen from me after I had done the recording out of my truck. It was fun to do. I just played slide on it, just a couple of microphones on the guitar, kind of an older school blues flavor to it, but a little bit of a contemporary chorus. It kind of keeps going back to that chorus line.
Right. So here he is now, Bob Charles, with his song, Trouble My World.
Hustler or a thief, you rob my heart, trust and belief. I didn't need your bad love, lies and deceit. To your world, pull me down deep. Well, trouble my world, trouble my way. Well, trouble my world, trouble my day. From you, well, trouble my world, trouble my way. Well, trouble my world, trouble my day. A frown, there's no key to the castle, diamond in your crown. Well, trouble your world, trouble your way. Trouble your world, trouble your day.
That was Bob Charles, Trouble My World. So, Bobby, some musicians devote themselves entirely to trying to be a rich, famous musician. But you have other things that you're equally passionate about. And I don't see that you have really been an aggressive person trying to be a star. So tell me about your life as a singer-songwriter and as a musician, from where you kind of started, what you thought it would be, and what it is now.
Wow, that's a good question. A lot of things weren't not planned other than that central thread of wanting to play. You know, there was always that, like, I can't not do it. I have to play. You know, like a lot of musicians, I went through periods of time where I wasn't promoting myself as an artist. I was a working musician because, you know, you're making a living. And I never sang, even though vocal music was an important form of music to me. It was where my roots were. It was part of my background. I loved it. Why I didn't do it, I don't know. You tried to get me to sing many years ago, and I looked at you like you had three heads. But it's a life change. It's something when, you know, maybe you start realizing things down the road, and you go, maybe time for a new chapter. I think I have my father to thank for that, because he was really a pioneer to me in making changes and making moves. I mean, we moved as a family from upstate New York down south, which was a huge thing. You know, most everybody was saying, you're nuts, you're crazy, you don't know what you're doing, you're going to quit your job, you're going to do these things. But he did it anyway, and it made all the difference. And I think that I used that a little bit, you know, when it came to a point where I thought, you know, I love what I'm doing, but I don't love what I'm doing at the same time. You know, so it caused the shift into playing and singing. You know, so I spent a couple of years just playing a lot of solo gigs so that I could develop that platform. As simple as I can make it, develop playing and singing, develop songwriting, still developing, constantly improving. You know, connected to my musical roots, all the jazz background, you know, that I studied and the influences that I had there, you know, it's like I'm not necessarily going down that road, but that's a huge part of what I like to do, you know, the expression aspect of it. I was influenced a lot by John Coltrane, Charlie Parker, Bill Evans. I like that amalgamation of styles in a lot of the artists, the later artists that I got into.
Let me backtrack one more time. When you started playing, did you take lessons or are you self-taught? Because you are a phenomenal guitarist. I mean, phenomenal. You were when you were 18 and you're more so now.
Thank you. Both. It started without lessons. I just fiddled with it. There was an acquaintance or a neighbor of my father's that played a little bit, and they started bringing me to him. He was teaching me legit stuff that I didn't do very well with, but I learned a little bit more appropriately, chords and sheet reading, that type of thing. And then from there, it was a brief period of time, maybe 6 months or something. And then after that, it was self-taught. It was mostly, you know, lifting music off of records, you know, learning songs, solos, and things like that off of records. And then right around 18, I ended up going to a guitar conservatory that was a 1 year. I went back from being self-taught back into the world of education in that regard. So I went through the school, which I formed so many friendships and whatnot with different people. And Jackie King, who passed away a few years ago, was the founder of that school and an unbelievable person. I learned so much from him and credit him to my background in jazz and learning that a whole other world, completely different world. After I graduated, he hired me to be an instructor. So I taught for a couple of years, you know, which was fun. It was pro level. It was classroom instruction. And his biggest thing that I hold to this day was the concept of learning how to learn. Learning how to learn. So my education continued on my own. I went back to being self-taught, but I kind of had the tools how to continue to teach myself. And it's not just for music. Everything was that way. I had an old friend who passed away that told me once, nothing's hard if you know how, you know? And so if you can teach yourself something, then that's a great tool. I got that from Jackie. So the education will never stop.
And as you're talking, I'm looking at your studio equipment. For anybody, any of my listeners who might be in China, Ireland, Canada, if they wanted to hire you as a guitar player or for other reasons, they could contact you and do that, correct?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. They could contact me through Facebook, or the website is bobcharles.com. Facebook is simply Bob Charles Music.
Bob Charles Music. Okay. So let's play another tune from your Blue Sky Black CD. How about if we play Run From Me? Tell me about the song. Can you tell me why you wrote that song? Or
it's a somewhat typical song about relationships, I guess, a breakup. It was fueled by that.
Here's Bob Charles with his song, Run From Me.
today. You had diamonds and gold, but never really cared. No one ever said all in love is fair.
Bob Charles with his song, Run From Me. You know, you mentioned earlier something about that you are building your own studio. So what's really cool about me, having known you so many years ago, and now you write your songs, you're a singer, you have your own recording studio, and you're building your studio, so you're like a real physical guy. Tell us about that. It sounds like, to me, and you're doing your own website, you really just kind of do it yourself. I think that's awesome. Very grassroots.
Thanks. Yeah. At one point in time, I was kind of like one of the low spots of my life where I wasn't homeless, but I was very close to that. So consequently, I ended up buying a piece of land because I always wanted to be in the country, and I bought a piece of land. I bought a bunch of books, back to the learning how to learn, and I just studied carpentry and electrical work and stuff, and I built my house. It's been somewhat of an ongoing process, and we recorded the record in my house. I mean, we just used the different rooms for different areas, which a lot of people do today. Now the push is to move into the larger studio. I'm doing that in my spare time.
Cool. So you mentioned you were at a low spot in your life. Can you tell us, how did you get out of that low spot?
Well, you know, sometimes if there's nothing left to do but tread water, you're just treading water. That's the first thing. You keep your head above water and then move from there. One of the things that got me out was I still had passion for music. And I had a passion for country life, in a way, you might say, just the serenity of in the country. And I didn't care if I lived in a tent. I liked the independence of that. I was lucky enough to work again as a teacher and as a musician and just, you know, put together enough money to put some money down and buy a little piece of property in the hill country. One of the things that helped me was I got a job as like a pit musician, you might say, at Fiesta, Texas. So I was playing 5-6 nights a week, and it was just reading. You know, you just go in and you read a show. It allowed me, in a way, to not think. So I was still playing. It allowed me time to come home and build the house and work on the studio and stuff like that.
So I think you mentioned that you might have another CD planned, and tell us about that if you do, or if you're working on some other songs.
The CD, I'm in the process of working on it. I don't know what it's going to be like yet, because I'm constantly torn between electric and acoustic world. I love them both. There was a time when I didn't even own acoustic guitar, and now I can't imagine. It'd be the one thing I'd want if I was on a desert island, you know, and had nothing but one instrument, be acoustic. But there's about half of it written. I really want to include a couple of songs from my friend Joe Lesperance and Brian Evans, who I couldn't do any of this without them. Really, they've been instrumental in helping and lighting a fire under me in that regard. But I also lost a good friend a little over a year ago, a singer-songwriter. I want to include at least one of his songs on the acoustic record.
And his name?
Scott Byers. I want to honor him by, you know, having his songs on the record as well.
So we've got time for one more song. We're going to play the title song from your CD, Blue Sky Black. Anything you want to tell us about that tune?
You know, it's somewhat of a relationship thing again, but it's optimistic and there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It was a fun song to do.
Thank you for joining me on my show.
Beth, you know, thank you. It's just terrific to talk with you and have this opportunity.
It's been wonderful talking to you, Bobby. Once again, here's Bob Charles. Blue Sky Black.
Somebody's voice is still tonight. I have to learn, I lost this faith. Somewhere a star fell from the sky, put on a shelf, I don't know why. It's harder every day to keep up with the parade. Love and emotion turn a blue sky black. You can never look down, don't look back. You can never look back. An old rocking chair is still tonight. A lantern burns, a flame of my heart, but I wanted peace from the start. It's harder every day to keep up with the parade. Love and emotion turn a blue sky black. You can never look down, don't look back. You can never look back. Will you keep on falling, falling away? When you keep on down in my shoes. Maybe one day walk from these blues. Oh, this endless heartache cuts like a knife. A chain without charms, moon without light. It's harder every day to keep up with the parade. When love and emotion turn a blue sky black, you can never look down, don't look back. You can never look back. Turn a blue sky black. You can never look down, don't look back. You can never look back, don't look back. You can never look back.
Well, I love me some Bob Charles, and I love me some Bob Charles music. That was the title song from his CD, Blue Sky Black. Great music, great singer, songwriter, and guitarist. Check him out at bobcharles.com. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Beth Williams Indie Americana Songwriter Podcast, and I hope you'll join me next time. This is Beth Williams wishing you well.
And don't look back.
You've been listening to the Beth Williams Indie Americana Songwriter Podcast, where the Colorado Mountains meet the West Texas wind and beyond. Visit BethWilliamsMusic.com/Beth Williams Music Podcast to hear more interviews with Beth and her amazing guests.
Don't look back, be happy where you're at now.